Our chapel speaker is the senior pastor of the Concord Missionary Baptist Church, Reverend Brian L. Carter. If you talked with him, he is as surprised as anyone that he's in his present role, like many of us. And he came out of the field of business, was drafted into ministry, now finds himself not only in the pastorate, but also here at Dallas Seminary as a student. He has served as senior pastor since October of 2003, succeeding Concord's founding pastor, the late Dr. E.K. Bailey. Dr. Bailey mentored Brian and recommended him to be his successor, and the mantle of leadership has been transferred to him. He considers it a privilege to serve the church that Pastor Bailey pastored for 28 years. But under Reverend Carter's leadership, God has continued to grow and develop Concord's ministries, adding over 1,000 new members to the church in the last 2 years, and a quarter of those have been brand new believers. Pastor Carter is also a part of our seminary family here as a student, as I mentioned, in the THM program. He married his college sweetheart, Stephanie, and the two of them have two daughters, Caitlin and Kennedy. I count Brian a dear friend, as we have met from time to time privately and prayed together and laughed together and wondered together about God's plan for both of our lives, but I count it a privilege to introduce him to you. Would you join me in welcoming Reverend Brian Carter to our platform this morning?
Thank God for Dr. Bailey. Thank you for those encouraging words. Dr. Bailey has always been an incredible encourager to me since I've met him through our founding pastor, Dr. E.K. Bailey. It's a joy for me to be here on this morning to share among my peers. I also thank God for the faculty and staff of this great university, this great seminary. I always wondered what it would be like to be up here, and now I know. I feel like I'm in Donald Trump's boardroom. Waiting on one of the profs to tell me I'm fired. Amen. All right. I want to thank several of our members and staff members from our church that are present. Would you stand? I want to thank them for coming. And finally, I also want to recognize my wife, who is here as well. Would you stand? My wife, Stephanie. Yeah. Amen. All right. Would you pray with me? Dear God, bless us for this time today. As we look into your word, help us to see you face to face, that we may walk away better and more improved. In Jesus' name, we say this prayer. Amen. As our bodies mature, sometimes we deal with a variety of diseases. One of those diseases that can afflict a person at their birth is a disease called dwarfism. Dwarfism is a disease that is a genetic disease, and it causes one's bones and cartilage not to develop normally. It causes one to be abnormally short in height. Normally, when these individuals who suffer from dwarfism reach adulthood, they're normally between the height of 2.5 feet and 4 feet. We all remember, some may remember Fantasy Island, and the young man who would often say, "The plane, the plane." He suffered from this condition of dwarfism. Dwarfism is not a common disease among men and women, but I would like to suggest today that spiritual dwarfism is much more common. Spiritual dwarfism is when a person has a great deal of potential, has a great deal of capacities, but somehow they come up short. And even on the campus of a seminary, among our peers and among the faculty and staff, we can find ourselves suffering from spiritual dwarfism. Sometimes we suffer from this disease because we have believed the misconceptions about spiritual maturity. Sometimes we can believe that spiritual maturity happens automatically. That just because we're on a seminary campus, we will automatically be mature in Christ. But that's not the case. It doesn't happen automatically. It happens through an intentional process. Some of us believe that we can become mature in isolation all by ourselves. But the Bible teaches us that it takes community for maturity. And then there are some who believe that if I just know the Bible, if I just know the scriptures, if I just can exegete a text, then surely I'm mature. But the Bible says to us that that's not the true sign of maturity. Because God not only wants our heads, but he wants our hearts. And so it says to us that what's the big question? How does a person avoid spiritual dwarfism? And I want to share with us from the subject of sustaining, having success. I want to share with us from the secret to sustain success. In your Bibles, if you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, there we'll find our focus for today. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, at the concluding verse in the chapter, verse 18, it reads, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." We must understand that, first of all, if we're going to have sustained success, we must realize and remember we're on our way. This passage that Paul writes in this second letter to the Corinthian church, it focuses in on the difference between the glory that was experienced by Moses and the glory that's experienced through Jesus Christ. And as he addresses this subject matter, he attempts to convey to his audience that what we have through Jesus Christ is incredible and cannot be compared about what they had through Moses. He says the glory, the level, the expectation, the experience that will be found in an experience with Jesus Christ can't compare to what was experienced through the law and through Moses. And then he goes on to say and uses the word transform. Of course, that word in the Greek renders the meaning of metamorphosis, which implies from the insect world, when a caterpillar goes into a cocoon one way, but then comes out as a butterfly. Right, right. And he tells us that as believers, God is transforming every single one of us. That on the campus of Dallas Seminary, God brought us here to transform us. He wants us to come in one way, but he wants us to go out another way. He wants us to come in selfish, but go out selfless. He wants us to come in abusive, but go out affectionate. He wants us to come in confused, but go out focused. God is in the process of transforming our lives. And he does that through ways we don't even imagine. It's a joy to be on the campus of Dallas Seminary. It's a joy to be in classes with some of the leading professors across the country. But every test that we take, God is transforming us. Every quiz that we take, God is transforming us. Especially the pop quizzes. They have a real way of transforming us. Because God is trying to take us somewhere. I remember the first test I took in seminary, and they had us grade our own papers. I said to myself, we're grading our own papers? What a test of your integrity. And then the other day I had a take-home test, closed note take-home test. He's trying to transform our character. And it's a joy to be on a campus and to know that God didn't bring us here just for our own benefit, But God is telling us we're on our way somewhere. And wherever he has the destination, he will use the experiences here to take us there. But the text not only tells us to remember we're on our way, but the text tells us to rely on our helper. Because at the conclusion of the text, it tells us that this transformation process from going from glory to glory happens as a result of the Lord who is Spirit. He says that our Trinitarian God, the Holy Spirit, is the key contributor to our development, to our transformation in our lives. It's the Spirit of God. You and I know there is the indwelling of the Spirit. We're all indwelt upon exception of Jesus Christ into our lives. We know about the baptism of the Spirit. We're baptized by the Spirit once we accept him as Lord and Savior. But then there is the filling of the Spirit. And the filling of the Spirit, the word it is used, to be filled, is used on numerous times in the New Testament. It could mean for a wedding to be filled. It could mean a time period that had been filled. It could mean a person that was filled with anger or filled with rage. And filling could happen from the inside, or filling could happen from the outside. But you and I know that in the Christian walk, the Spirit-filled life happens from the inside. And God tells us through Paul, be filled with the Spirit. And that's how you and I will be transformed. That the more we cooperate with the Spirit of God in our lives, the better we are transformed. The more we follow his expectations, the better we will reach the standard that he has in store for us. In this room are some of the brightest minds that God wants to use to impact his kingdom. But he wants us to know that we can't do it by our own selves. We can't do it by our own intellect and our ingenuity. But it's the Spirit. It's the Spirit that will allow us to balance 15 credit hours. It's the Spirit that will get us through Greek and Hebrew. It's the Spirit that will encourage us when our scholarships don't come through like we think they will. It's the Spirit that will allow us to maintain marriages amidst the struggle of trying to be in ministry and do your homework. God sometimes allows us to be in experiences where we will find out we can't do it all by ourselves. And it is only through the Spirit of God that we will reach the potential and maximize the experience that God has for us. I remember 3 years ago when Dr. E.K. Bailey came to me and said he had a succession plan for the church. For 20 years, he had been praying about someone to succeed him. And I remember my struggles with when he asked me and told me that God had laid my name on his heart. He said to me, I've been praying about this for 20 years. And now that I'm here, I feel like God has told me that you're the one he wants to succeed me. And I remember being terrified, excited, and scared all at the same time. Got in my car and he said, I want you to pray about it. Talk to your wife and then come back and let me know what you've decided. Got in my car, called my wife. Tears running down my face, because I think whenever God calls you to a work, there will always be questions about, are you up to the task? I thought about times in my life when I've argued with God and said, God, are you sure about this? God, you know I'm still in seminary. God, you realize that I'm still fairly young. And God said this to me. He said, listen, do you belong to me or do I belong to you? Are you my child or am I your child? Let me offer this to you as young seminarians as we seek to serve God in our lives. Don't tell God how to use you. So many times in this life, God will give you a vision. He'll give you a vision of a small church, a big church, staff, senior pastor, missionary, on a staff. But don't tell God how to use you. Several times in my life, I found myself trying to tell God, God, that's really not what I planned on doing. God, I just want, give me a small church. But God said, don't tell me how to use you, because I am your God. Finally, we have to reduce our hindrances. Scripture tells us on multiple occasions that we are to walk in the Spirit. It tells us that we should not quench the Spirit. It tells us that we should not grieve the Spirit. And the way that we do this is by understanding that God, as the divine designer, knows how to remodel our lives. I enjoy watching all of the makeover shows, but what I am reminded of most is that God is the master makeover. He's been doing makeovers since Genesis chapter 1. And all throughout the scripture, we find men and women whom God has made over. And he makes them over because he knows that if they can somehow get to where he wants them to be, they will not only make an impression, they'll make an impact. So I encourage you today that as God has brought us to this seminary, as God has placed us, for many, in a season of preparation, allow God to make you over. Allow God to make us over in our classwork. Allow God to make us over through the chapel services. Allow God to make us over as we struggle in relationships and even in our finances. Allow God to make us over in the relationships and the friends he provides in this journey. Because when God gets through, no one will be able to tell us from where we started. You ought to see the before and after picture of our lives. Before we came to seminary and after we leave seminary. Not that we've changed intellectually, but that we have changed intellectually and spiritually. God is maturing us, and God is making us over. Amen and praise God. Amen.